Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Let's pray before we get into the word, hey? Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you are here. We thank you for Easter that's coming up, Father God, for everything that it means. We thank you that because Jesus lives, we can live every single day in the knowledge of your presence and the knowledge of your love and the assurance of your goodness. And I just pray that that assurance and knowledge would fill this room and flood every heart and flood every mind and every person that's struggling right now, that there would be a break and a release, Father God, from whatever torment, from whatever agitation might be going on in their mind and their spirit. Father God, let there be peace in Jesus' name. We bind every distraction. Let us hear only your voice. Whatever other voice of flesh, voice of sin, voice of the demonic, whatever other voice, we bind it in Jesus' name. Let us hear only your voice. Only your voice. As we give you our attention, as we give you the best of who we are. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I sense his presence here. Who's excited? Oh, I'm excited. So good. Let's go. Luke chapter 6. We're going to read from verse 6 through to 11. It says this. It says, "Now it happened on another Sabbath also that he being Jesus, entered the synagogue and he taught. And a man was there whose right hand was withered. So the scribes and the Pharisees watched Jesus closely, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him. But he, Jesus, knew their thoughts, and he said to the man who had the withered hand, he said, 'Arise and stand here.' And the man arose and he stood. Then Jesus said to them, 'I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save a life or to destroy?' And when he had looked around at them all, he turned to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' And the man did so, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. But they were filled with rage, they, the scribes and Pharisees, and they discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus." I want to speak to you tonight on this thought: from withered to whole. From withered to whole. We've just read a great account out of the book of Luke 6, and it's happening. Everything's going down on the Sabbath day. Jesus is there. He's in the synagogue, and he is teaching the crowd in front of him. And from reading this passage, we see that there's actually two things going on in the synagogue that day. The first thing is there's a whole bunch of scribes and Pharisees, or religious people, and they're watching Jesus really closely. They're not there because they have good motives. They're there because they want to trap Jesus. They want to accuse Jesus. They want to discredit him, get rid of him. They don't like him. That's why they're there. The second thing that we see in the synagogue that day is that a man is there, a man with a withered hand, and Jesus takes him from withered to whole. Amen. That's the second thing. We don't know this guy's name. We don't know anything about his background or who he really is. The only way we know him is by his presenting issue. He is the man with the withered hand. It's not lovely, is it? You know, nobody wants to be known by their presenting issues. Here's the lady with the big dysfunction. Like, that's not nice. Just call me by my name, please. But nonetheless, the scriptures go there. It says, the man with the withered hand. Another version translates this word withered as paralyzed. So you understand he's got a disability in one of his forearms. What do you think that having a withered hand meant for someone in first century Israel? He didn't have Centrelink benefits, you know. He couldn't phone up and make an NDIS claim or anything like that. Like, if you have a withered hand in Australia in 2021, it's a significant disability, yes, but you can still lead a pretty incredible life, right? But for this guy, in Luke 6. His withered hand probably affected everything. Like, I don't think his hand would have been the only issue. I think the hand issue would have led to a whole bunch of other issues, like employment issues, like maybe relational issues, maybe familial issues. Maybe he felt a bit second rate, second class, that sort of thing. Maybe the issue of his hand on the outside gave him some issues on his heart on the inside. You know what I mean? Heart issues, confidence issues, fear issues, self-esteem issues, all those sorts of things. Issues. We don't really know everything that he was going through. One thing we do know is that the man needed to be made whole. He had to be made whole. And I think he's so relatable because in some way or another, don't we all need to be made whole? Don't we all need to be made whole? We have all got issues of some description. I'll go first. Hands up if you've got issues. Hallelujah. It's 100%. You know, we've all got issues, areas in our life that are a little bit withered, areas in our life and our heart that are just a bit withered. His issue was a disability and whatever kind of came with that. But what are your issues? What are my issues? What areas of our lives are a bit withered and not functioning the way that they should be functioning and a little bit broken and a little bit dead and need to be brought back to life? There is no one who is excluded. We've all got issues, all types of them, little, big, external issues, internal issues, external issues that give us internal issues, internal issues that start creating external issues, like, my gosh, issues. The issue is not that you have an issue. Can I just make that plain? The issue is not that you have an issue. The real issue is, what are you going to do with your issue? That is the real issue. What are you going to do with your issue? The guy with the withered hand, he navigated this withered hand issue in such a way that he came into healing and he came into wholeness. He went from withered to whole. And isn't that the goal? Is that not the goal? That whatever the issues of life might be right now, we don't want to be stuck in them forever. Amen? We do not. Whatever is withered in us right now, we want to see it come back to life. We want to see it thrive. PK preached on Vision Sunday, revive us, O Lord, that my heart and soul might function the way you intended my heart and soul to function in Jesus' name. I don't want to be camping around the same issues of my life year on year on year. And it's sad, I think, when believers are dealing with the same withered sort of issues in their life as everybody else, as the people that don't even know Jesus, when we're in the exact same boat and we can have conversations, even though we have access to Jesus, but we're still going around the same mountain as they are, you know? Oh, you struggle with anxiety, or so do I, you know? You're addicted, or so am I, you know? Like, your marriage is stuff, my marriage is stuff too, you know? These kinds of things where there's no difference, where there's no wholeness, and there is no judgment here tonight either. There is no condemnation, because I know we are all on a journey, amen? From one degree of glory to another. You know, Jesus is endlessly patient with us. That is the truth. But the point still remains, where are the believers living in wholeness? Where are the believers living in victory? And the believers that can say, don't look at my issue, listen to my testimony. Like, it used to be my issue, yes, but now Jesus has set me free from that issue. I had a withered hand, but he made me whole. You know, we need to be able to say that as believers, because wholeness is our inheritance in Christ. Because he lives, we ought to have a compelling testimony of the difference that Jesus has made in our lives and in our hearts. He made a way. The cross made a way. This is not just a marketing gimmick. It's a bit of a marketing, you know. It's a powerful marketing gimmick. It's your testimony. It's your testimony. It's your testimony. It's powerful. It's powerful. The man with the withered hand, although we don't know his name, we can learn a lot from his behavior as he really saw Jesus take him from withered to whole. And the first thing I want you to see is this guy made good choices. Turn to your neighbor and say, make good choices. Turn to your other neighbor and say, you made an excellent choice sitting next to me. I just lost all of you. Okay, bring it back, bring it back, bring it back. Bring it back. Luke 6 and verse 6 says, now it happened on another Sabbath also that he entered the synagogue. He, Jesus, entered the synagogue and taught. And a man was there. Say, a man was there. A man was there whose right hand was withered. We can read over that, gloss over that, think nothing of it. He was there in the synagogue, so what? So what? But the fact that he was there in the synagogue means that he had chosen to go to the synagogue. He had chosen. No one dragged him to the synagogue that day. No one forced him. You got to go to church, dude. No one dragged him there. He chose to go there. Of all the places he could have chosen to go, he chose to go to a place of worship. He chose to go to a place of presence. He chose to get around the words and the presence of Jesus, withered hand and all. He just made a good choice. How often, when we're confronted with the withered areas of our life, do we fail to make good choices? Like, where do you go with your issues? What do you do with your issues? Because so often there's the thing that we should do, and then there's the thing that we actually do. Yeah. You know, instead of calling the friend who you know will build you up in faith and pray with you, you go to the friend that you know is going to go drinking with you, go party with you. That's what you do. Instead of picking up the Bible off your shelf and reading it and meditating on the Word of God, you just stay persisting in the toxic mindset and persisting with the website and persisting in the stuff that's godless and is not going to build you up. Instead of declaring the promises of God, you choose to declare worst case scenario, this sort of thing. These are the things that we do. We've all been there. We've all done that. But in these types of scenarios, you can't escape the fact that you've got a choice. You've got a choice. I've got a choice. We are empowered. We're not disempowered. We are responsible to make good choices. We can do that. If you made a bad choice yesterday, you can make a good one today. Make good choices. If we want the withered areas of our life to become whole, we need to make good choices. Not all choices are created equal. Do I have an amen? Yeah. Some choices are going to lead us to life. Some choices are way more conducive to wholeness, way more conducive to breakthrough. Other choices have nothing good attached to them. They are not going to do anything to take you from withered to whole. They might make you even worse. They might give you more issues. And this guy with the withered hand, he chose to get himself to church. He chose to get himself to the presence of Jesus. He did not have to choose that. He could have chosen self-pity. He could have chosen to sit and wallow. I'm not going to church today. No one understands what it's like to be withered like me. No one knows about this witheredness. No one understands. He could have made excuses. I'm not going to church. They look at me funny. They talk about me behind my back. Everyone's talking about me. Yeah. Rubbish. No one's talking about you. That's for someone. They're too busy thinking everybody's talking about them. You, congratulations, you've just identified the lie of the enemy. You know, we got to be real, you know. He could have made the choices to wallow in his self-pity, to not get up and go and do something great, but I don't believe he would have come into wholeness if that's the choices that he made. He didn't make excuses. He made good choices. He's like, my hand might be stuffed right now, but my feet are perfectly good, and my feet are going to take me to church. With my feet, I'm going to go get near Jesus. With my feet, I'm going to go get in his presence, you know? We can do that. Even if there's things you legitimately can't do right now, there's things you can do. There's things you can do, good things that you can. I remember periods of my life where my big issue was that I felt far from God. Have you ever been there where you felt like every other person had it all together in their walk with God except for you? Yeah. That's me. And I'm not just talking about feeling like that for a day or a week. I'm talking about an extended period of time where the Word of God felt so dry and my prayer life was just so lackluster, and I didn't feel like I could feel his presence, and church was a struggle. And this is a problem. I'm the pastor. Pastors are people too, right? You know, I'm just working out my salvation with fear and trembling, just like the rest of you all. Like, you know, we do our ministers a disservice when we pedestal them. There is no spiritual elite. We are all sinners saved by grace. All sinners saved by grace. And I've had these times where I felt far from God. Am I even called? Have I even heard you? Am I in the right place? And I knew, I became so intimately aware that in that place, I had a choice. I had a choice. We've all seen people go through crises of faith where they make crap choices. Pardon me. That wasn't a good choice, was it? But let's be real, we have. We're about authenticity. You know, they stop picking up the Word. They get out of fellowship. They walk away. Their church attendance. I'm not saying church is the be all and end all, but you will get worship here. You'll get the Word here. You'll get community here. You'll get people around you here that build you up in faith. It's an environment that is more conducive. It's more conducive to the presence of God. And I knew that I had a choice. And regardless of my feelings, I decided I was going to respond by faith. Because the scriptures say that we've got to walk by faith. That doesn't say anything about relying on your feelings. And I picked up my Word. Come hell or high water, I will read the Word. Because faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the Word of God is alive and active. It's not dead and dormant. So if I get it in me, it'll go to work in me. And it's going to germinate something. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but sometime, someplace, the Word will germinate in me. And as I made these sorts of decisions, sure enough, wholeness came. Sure enough, my withered faith burst back to life. Sure enough, God was gracious. And suddenly, the light switched on. And suddenly, God spoke again. And suddenly, I found myself in a place where I no longer felt far from God. It's attached to choice, though. We have choice. We always have choice. What choice is God asking you to make? Yeah. What thing might you need to cut off? What thing might you need to walk away from? What thing might you need to start walking towards? Don't make excuses. Make a good choice. Yeah. Make a good choice. You can, by the Holy Spirit, you can. Another thing we learn from the text is we've got to stop worrying about the crowd. Young people, I can't stress this highly enough. We need to stop worrying about the crowd. Man, I wish I could rewind my life and get over the fear of man a whole lot quicker than I did. I wish I've been so bound at different times by the fear of man and the crowd. We're going to read out again verse 7 and 8 from our text. It says this: So the scribes and the Pharisees watched him closely, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and he said to the man that had the withered hand, "Arise and stand here." So he brought him out in front of the crowd of scribes and Pharisees. "Arise and stand here." And he arose and stood. So in the synagogue that day, there is a crowd. They're scribes, they're Pharisees, they're religious people onlooking this whole withered hand healing situation. That's what's going on. But the thing about this crowd is they actually didn't give a stuff about the man with the withered hand. They didn't care about his well-being. They were there watching Jesus. They had their own agenda. They didn't have compassion. They just wanted to trap Jesus. They wanted to catch him doing the wrong thing on the Sabbath so that they could discredit him. To the crowd that day, this man was just an opportunity to fulfill their own agenda. That's all he was. And the attitude of Jesus stands in stark contrast to the attitude of the crowd. See, the crowd looked at the man with disregard, but Jesus looked at the man with love and compassion. The crowd cared about rules and regulations, and that's all they cared about. But Jesus cared about this man and what he was going through and the way it impacted his heart. Jesus cared. And the truth is, we all have different crowds around our lives. Like, ask yourself the question, who or what is crowding around my life at the moment? Like, is the crowd of unsaved friends? Is it the crowd of your colleagues? Is it the crowd of your school? Is it the crowd of your university? Maybe the crowd of the voices in society? You know, like those worldly mindsets, those voices that are anti the word of God. Is it the crowd of religious mindsets and keeping up appearances? See, the thing about the crowd is that they often have loud voices and personal agendas. The crowds have loud voices and personal agendas. They can be like, to your life, don't be like that, be like this. And don't act like that, act like this. And don't think like that, think like this. And would you adopt our narrative? And would you play our game? And do this to fit in, and do that to fit in. And would you be like this for us? Because it really suits us when you're like this for us. And so often, we find ourselves yielding to the voice of the crowd. We find ourselves so worried about what the people around us are gonna think that it suppresses us and it drowns us out. Like, what might the crowd think? And what might the crowd say? If I go after Jesus, like really fully pursue him, doesn't really fit the image that I'm after. You know, if I really wholeheartedly chase him, what's that gonna do to my reputation? What will people think? What will people think? But here's my question to all of you. Does the crowd love you as much as Jesus loves you? Do they want the best for your life the same way Jesus wants the best for your life? Like, do they have your best interests at heart, or are they mostly thinking about themselves? That image, young people, that you care about, does that image care about you? The social media you're so devoted to, does the social media devote itself to you? Like, these questions are pointed questions. And I'm not saying that these things are necessarily bad things. All I'm saying is that nothing will ever be as good a thing in your life as Jesus Christ. Nothing, nothing will ever be as good a thing as Jesus in your life. Jesus is utterly different from the crowd. He doesn't need anything from you. And that puts him in a position where he's totally free to give to you. Like, when he deals with you, when he interacts with you, he has no agenda other than the agenda to serve you and the agenda to love you and the agenda to bring you into wholeness and freedom. That's who Jesus is. There's no crowd that can love you as good as Jesus can love you. Doesn't matter what the crowd is. There is no crowd that can love you as good as Jesus can love you. And we need to stop worrying about the opinion of the crowd. Remember the woman with the issue of blood in the Bible. If she had worried about the crowd, she would have never come out of her house. She would have never pushed through that crowd as an unclean Jewish woman to touch the hem of his garment. But she stopped worrying about the crowd. You know, blind Bartimaeus in Scripture, if he had have worried about the crowd, he would have ceased to cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me," while the crowd was like, "Shut up." And he's like, "No, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He cried all the more, the Scripture says. And in that place, he encountered Jesus. And in that place, he went from withered to whole. Amen. Yeah. Time to stop worrying about the crowd. And my final point from the text tonight is we've got to get vulnerable. Ouch. If we want to go from withered to whole, if you actually do, got to get vulnerable. Got to get vulnerable. Verse 10 of the text says, "And when he had looked around at them all, he turned to the man, said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' And the man did so, and his hand was restored as whole as the other." I just want you to imagine with me for a moment the scene. Hey, wow. There we go. I want you to imagine with me this scene that's playing out in the synagogue that day. We've got Jesus and the man with the withered hand at the front of the synagogue, and we've got all these onlookers, all this crowd, but they're not cheering him on. They don't care about him. They're not cheering him on. Already, does that not feel like quite a vulnerable situation for this man? Yeah. Already. And Jesus said to him, "Stretch out your hand." If that's you in that situation, which hand do you stretch out? Jesus didn't specifically say, "Stretch out your withered hand." He just said, "Stretch out your hand." So maybe, do you stretch out your good hand to avoid getting vulnerable? Here you go, Jesus. High five. Nothing to see here. Smiling away. Jesus, not now. Like, it's disabled, you realize. You know, like, do you do that? Because how often do we do that sort of thing? When someone who really loves us comes up to us and says, "Hey, how are you really doing? How are you really doing? I've been noticing you're not quite yourself lately." Or maybe they say something a little bit confronting, like, "Do you think that relationship's really healthy for you?" Yeah. You know, these sorts of things that they say to us. And rather than getting honest, rather than getting vulnerable, we're all like, "Yeah, nah, all good." Yeah. Nothing to see here. Oh, you know, I used to, but now, nah, we're all good, all good. Let's move on. How about that weather? You know? Rather than risk getting vulnerable, but that is not what this man did. Jesus said, "Stretch out your hand." And so the guy got vulnerable. He went straight to the real issue. Yeah. It's like, flip. There's a lot of people watching right now, but you know what? Faith and obedience in this moment is more important to me than what they think. And this hurts a bit, and it's very confronting right now. Yeah, wow. But you know what? I would rather respond to Jesus than respond to any crowd. Yeah. And I don't even know if this arm can work. I don't even know if Jesus can heal this thing. I don't even know if he can make it whole. I don't even know what's going to go on, but I'm going to stretch it out to Jesus. I'm going to stretch it out, not just to any old hack, but I'm stretching it out to Jesus. If you want to see it, you can see it. And the Scripture records that as he did that, as he stretched out his hand, it was made as whole as the other. It was completely and totally restored. Can we praise Jesus for the miracle? I'm healed, I don't need that. I'll put it back in the first aid kit after the service. Not joking. Don't worry, there's another one in there if anyone has an injury later on. When it comes to our withered parts, we have a choice to either keep it hidden or reveal it. We can keep it to ourselves, or we can reveal it so that Jesus can heal it. Jesus can only heal what you are prepared to reveal. I say it again, Jesus can only heal what you are prepared to reveal. We've got to get vulnerable. When I was 19 and 20, around that age, I struggled with an eating disorder. I had this withered part in my life, horrible, desperately withered, very unhealthy relationship with food, and that affected me in a deeply negative way in terms of self-esteem and image and all those sorts of things. And for the longest time, it was the secret of my life. Nobody knew, only me. I kept it to myself. And I was a connect leader at my church at that time in a young adults ministry. And I was that guy that came, everything's fine and we're all good and great to see you, buddy. And yep, come on in. And everything wasn't fine. Everything was not fine. Some people knew that I threw up sometimes and they would sort of say, is everything all right there? You know, are you good? I say, oh, no, I'm good. Yeah, I've got reflux and, you know, I go to the doctors, I'm on medication. It wasn't a total lie, but I knew in my heart of hearts that it definitely was not the full truth. And I justified it to myself and I told myself all the reasons why I didn't really need to confront it and I didn't really need to deal with it. And the truth was I was afraid. I was embarrassed. I was afraid of the reactions of the crowd. I was afraid of what people would say, what people would think. And I definitely was not prepared to get vulnerable. So I struggled and I struggled in the grip of this horrible disorder. And then there came a point in time where I was so sick of it. I had tried in my own strength to be free and I could not. And I was like, I don't want to be withered anymore. I want to be made whole. I want to be free. And so I chose to reveal it so that Jesus could heal it. And I found some safe people. Don't just spill to any old people. You need to find safe people, godly people, people with the word of the Lord in their mouth. I found some safe people and I got honest. For the first time, I told the whole truth. I told it like it was and stopped lying to myself and stopped lying to other people. And you know what? Even in just revealing it, already the weight started to lift. Already light started to come into those dark places, withered places in my heart. It was only about a week later. I kid you not, about a week later, I was in a camp meeting and I responded to an altar appeal like many of you will hear tonight. I responded and I didn't care anymore how vulnerable I was. I just wanted to be free. I was like, I don't care what people think of me. I cried out to the Lord in every single fiber of my being. God, I don't want this anymore. Make me free. And in an instant, I felt something leave me. This oppressive thing up and left. And from that moment to this, I've never struggled with eating disorder ever again in my life. Only Jesus can make us whole, fully whole, totally whole. And as I revealed it, Jesus healed it. Jesus healed it. He'll heal whatever we're prepared to reveal. It says in the book of James and 5, verse 16, it says this. It says, therefore, confess your sins to one another. Confess your false steps. Confess your offenses. Why do we do that? To ridicule one another? To have dirt on one another? No. It's not what the scripture says. So that you can pray for one another. So that you might be healed and restored. That's why we get vulnerable. Because it's in revealing it that healing and restoration comes. There's something about your honesty, your humility, your vulnerability before the Lord that's a magnet to wholeness. And Jesus can take you from withered to whole.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.